Accessibility awareness on a global scale. This is really an exciting presentation, and one that I am proud to bring to this stage. Our next gentleman, I actually met at my very first Federation convention in 1996. He is from Canada originally, but he has worked now extensively in mobilizing people around the world to think about, talk about, take action on accessibility. He's the co-founder of a movement that is known as Global Accessibility Awareness Day, or GAD. And he has used his talents to mobilize the conversation around accessibility in spaces where they might not traditionally be, and try to find new allies to our cause. So it's really my pleasure to invite to speak to the Federation today, his perspective about accessibility and awareness. Here's Jennison Asuncion.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Mark, you took away my thunder a little bit, because I was going to tell a very quick story about how, back in 1996, when I was living back in Canada, I was sent as with a small delegation of Canadians who were planning to start a Federation chapter. This was in Anaheim. And I would end up meeting this really smart student and hanging out with him. And who would have thought that 26 years later, here's Mark, President Rick Obono. Yeah, you guys are really lucky to have him, you know that. So I'm going to, let's see. By a show of sound of my hands, how many people have not heard of Global Accessibility Awareness Day before? Be honest. Good, because then that means that less people will be bored at what I'm gonna have to talk about. And one other thing, just as I always like to do when I'm addressing an audience of the crowd, like this, I stand up here at the podium with a single sheet of Braille notes. Long live Braille. Yeah. Now, just to tell you the change of the sign of the times, I did forget my Braille watch, so I am wearing an earpiece to keep me on time here. Okay, a little bit about, let's see, how are we gonna start this? Okay, so when I graduated from university, I spent my first 6 years of my professional life working in the e-learning space, just traditional e-learning stuff, designing, training, being a project manager. But in 2006, I woke up and said, I'm done with this. I want to do something more impactful and something that made that I thought would make a difference. And some really good friends of mine mentioned to me that I did have a passion for accessibility, which I did, but to pursue it in a full-time fashion. So I switched in my career at that point to working in digital accessibility. And the one thing that I've always been passionate about, or found my passion in, was trying to find different ways to make accessibility and the concepts of accessibility more, if you will, accessible to your everyday tech professional. Because I was meeting with web developers and designers throughout my time, And a lot of them had just frankly never heard of accessibility. Now, I know in a room like this, we would expect that, you know, the seeing world would be kind of hip to us and to what our needs are. But the reality is the majority of people, particularly in the tech world, have never interacted with someone with a disability or have any knowledge or anything like that. So I was thinking of different ways to make it interesting, make it fun. And then in 2009, I attended an event called Accessibility Camp DC, which was in Washington, DC. So I was living in Toronto at the time. But it was this really crazy concept to me. They were just gonna grab a room at the MLK Library in Washington, DC. Yeah, yeah. And they were just gonna bring people together on this random Saturday and feed them potbelly subs and have people just gather in this library room and set up these sessions on accessibility. I thought that, see, I'm more of a type A person, so I was like, this is too much chaos. This is not gonna work. But suddenly, all these people came together and there were designers, developers, folks with different disabilities or impairments. And it actually happened. There were all these sessions, they breakout rooms and all of this stuff. And I was just so taken aback, but then also just like pleasantly surprised that something like this could work. And people were learning and people were asking questions and, you know, the kinds of questions about like, well, how does a screen reader work and all of those kinds of things. And it was mind boggling to me. So I left that experience and I said, I've got to do something like that. But fast forward, I helped out with a similar event called the Accessibility Unconference at the time in Boston in 2010, and Accessibility Camp in Seattle in 2011. And then I think I did one in Los Angeles. And this was all before I considered doing something in Toronto. Apparently, I just wanted to practice run a couple of times before I decided to do something there. But I ran one in Toronto in 2011, and that was great, and it worked really successfully. So that's just some context for you to all understand where my passion lay and what I was trying to achieve as part of my kind of outside of my 9-to-5 job. Now, it was a Saturday night in November in Toronto in 2011. So I had already run the accessibility camp in Toronto and I'd done the stuff in Boston and LA and all of that. Oh, sorry, I hadn't done the one in LA, but I'd done Seattle and Boston and DC and all that. But then here I am at home on a Saturday night and that was not typical of me at the time. And what does a tech person do when they're home on a Saturday? Well, I was just trolling Twitter and just looking around, and suddenly I came upon a tweet that said something to the effect of, accessibility needs to go mainstream now. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I activated the tweet or the link in the tweet, and it came upon this blog post by someone I didn't know at the time, named Joe Devin, who at the minute was a web developer in Los Angeles. And he, like any tech professional who has a beef or something to talk about, he decided to write a blog post. And he was recounting a story about his father, who was a brilliant man who spoke many languages and all of this kind of stuff. But like many people getting older, his dad was losing his hearing and his vision. And things as simple that we take for granted as like going to the bank was gonna become difficult. Now, Joe, being a technology guy, was like, well, it should be easy enough for his dad to use the website for this large bank. But he soon discovered that that was not gonna be possible because there was a lack of accessibility at the time. So Joe took to his blog and wrote this quick blog post talking about how web developers knew nothing about accessibility. They didn't, but they did. They needed to learn about accessibility. They needed to understand about screen readers. And we needed to come up, and he called for a day, some sort of day dedicated to learning about accessibility. So if you remember my story and what I was trying to achieve back in Toronto, here I am reading this blog post going, wow, this is exactly what we need. So I tweeted him and I responded to his blog post and said, hey, if you're serious about this, let's talk about it. So moving further ahead, we hopped on the horn and we started chatting and we said, let's do it. So Joe Devin, my co-founding partner in Global Accessibility Awareness Day, who I didn't know until that moment, and I just said, let's choose a date. So at that time we chose May 9th. And we said, okay, now what? So we each emailed and called and all of our friends, mine in the accessibility community and him in the tech community, and just asked people, hey, on May 9th, can you run an event? Whatever type of event you wanted to run, but with a focus on digital accessibility and target the mainstream tech community in some way. And we were like, eh, we'll see what happens. Well, fast forward to May 9th, and we had about 15 events around the world, and I was just like, wow, that's a lot, even that. And we had like a government conference in India, we had stuff going on in Australia, we had some events in the US and in Canada, and that was great. And we ran the first event, and that was that. Well, here we are, fast forward to 2021, last year, and we celebrated GAD's 10th anniversary. Thank you. And neither Joe or I had any idea that GAD would pick up in such a big way. And so we are so proud of it. And we've moved the date since. It's because we found out that we were bumping up against holidays in Europe. But it is now the third Thursday of May is when GAD is. Now, real quick, because this always comes up, people are always asking, like, what are the highlights of running this event all these years? Well, for me personally, I got to meet Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who is the father of the World Wide Web. He participated in a Global Accessibility Awareness Day event in Copenhagen that I attended. But I think for me, one of the most exciting things to see is video game accessibility has become such a big thing. Are there gamers in the crowd? Well, it's amazing to me. So I'm aging myself here, but for those of you who may remember Atari, there were a couple of games that I, as a completely blind person, could play by staying in place. There was a game called Centipede, where all you had to do is fire away, and Jungle Hunt, and a couple of those other ones. But anyway, but these gaming stuff, that's amazing. So, and I know that a lot of them are using Global Accessibility Awareness Day to launch different gaming like initiatives and stuff like that. So that to me is a big one. The other big thing for me is to see how many new events are happening in languages other than English. Because GAD, G is global, and global, like English is just one language. So we're doing a lot more stuff in other languages. Now, one of the other things Joe and I did last year in celebration of our 10th anniversary is we launched something called the GAD Foundation. And the foundation has a mission to disrupt the culture of technology and digital product development to make accessibility a core requirement. And thank you. And so we're doing it in a number of ways. There's five programs, and if you want to learn more about it, you can go to GAD, that's GAAD.foundation. But one of the programs that we're running, and I'm saying this as a lead into our next presenter, but it's called the GAD Pledge. And what that is it's an opportunity for I don't want to get too technical here, but there are open source libraries, JavaScript libraries, that a lot of developers like to use to build websites and mobile apps and all those things. In fact, many of the websites and mobile apps out there are powered by these open source libraries. And so what we ask for a library to take the GAD pledge and spend a year making sure all of their widgets are accessible, making sure their documentation is accessible, and making sure that they're promoting accessible development amongst anyone who picks up their library to use it. And so the next speaker you'll hear from, Mike Gifford, and the open source project that he's involved with, Drupal, this year took the GAD pledge. So let's give him a round of applause and Drupal for that. Now, my ask of all of you, there is an ask. So I would love to see GAD events in all 50 states next year. All right, can we do this at the chapter level? All you need to do, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You could just open up a meeting or host something at a library where you can be there with your assistive technology and invite web developers to come in and for them to at least see what it's like to experience their website or their mobile app, which they probably didn't develop accessibly, but let them see what that experience is like, whether it's with a screen reader, screen magnification, refreshable braille display, any of that stuff, or have a guest speaker come and talk about, whatever, something to do with accessibility. But you all have this power, and my ask of all of you in all of those 50 states and wherever else, I know, Mark, you mentioned to me that there's some work in Puerto Rico as well, so I'm not sure if there's anyone from Puerto Rico here, but we would love to have something in Espanol in Puerto Rico talking about digital accessibility at all. So if you all can just think about that, May, the third Thursday of May next year, and if you want to learn more about Global Accessibility Awareness Day, you can go to this nifty website called accessibility.day. And I am so pleased that we have that. And that's in no short part and in real part to President Rick Abono, who was approached with that domain name, but was so generous enough to give me a call and say, hey, Global Accessibility Awareness Day deserves this accessibility.day domain name. So this is my opportunity to publicly thank President Rick Abono. And I want to thank all of you for your attention. This is only my third convention I've attended, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really appreciate your time and attention. Thank you so much.